All right, good evening, everybody. It's about that time. We'll go ahead and get started. Go ahead and get situated and find your seats and pull out your hymnals. We'll open up to the first song for the evening, song number 119. Song number 119, Till the Storm Passes By. Song number 119. Go ahead and start there on the first. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storm never darkened the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. And the last, when the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Amen, Brother Edward. You want to pray for us this evening? Amen. All right, go ahead and flip to the second song for this evening. It'll be song number 149. Song number 149. Trusting Jesus. Number 149, trusting Jesus. We'll go ahead and start there on the first. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While He leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. At last, trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Amen. Great singing. So we'll go ahead and go over the announcements for the evening at this time. Go ahead and pull out your bulletins. If you didn't grab a bulletin this morning, go ahead, just go and raise your hand. We'll have Brother Brandon bring them around to you. And here on the very first page, we do have our Bible memory passage listed, kind of switched up from our last bulletin. But we are still in Romans chapter number 8. We're in verse number 22. So we're right about that halfway point. So definitely keep working on this memory chapter. And if you can quote the entire chapter word perfect to a non-family member, you will receive a special prize there at the end. And then again, if you're 18 years old or under, okay, and you can quote this verse word perfect to by the next midweek service, you will receive an ice cream treat. So kids, an incentive there, get God's word hidden in your heart and get an ice cream treat next week. Amen. So if you open it up on the top left, we have our service times. Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening, 5:30 p.m., and we have that midweek Bible study on Thursday at 7 p.m. We have our soul winning times listed underneath that with the respective soul winning leaders, and we have our stats there at the bottom there. We have 426 salvations to date, and then throughout today, we had three to report this morning. We went out, had four salvations out soul winning today, so good job there. And we had Brother Samson ring in with two, and Brother Mohit ring in with one. So,
So we have 10 for today. Amen. So great job soul winning. Get that added on. They're on the next page, be in prayer for the expecting ladies. We did have Miss Carrie Shelley just deliver her baby girl not too long ago, so definitely still keep her in her prayer in your prayers, and the little one as well. We have listed here Miss Sarah Gomez. She's having a baby boy. She's due in December, the beginning of December. So just pray for her that everything goes well with that. And also just keep praying for her. She's traveling. She's in Korea right now. So just kind of pray that the regulations with all the crazy stuff going on, that she comes back nice and safe. But that would be greatly appreciated. They're on the next line down there, the guest preaching schedule. For today, August 8th, we have Brother Chris Segura came back out from Faithful Word Baptist Church out in Tempe, Arizona. It's always a blessing having him out preach for us. So thank him and his two boys that came out for coming out to fill the pulpit. Thursday, August 19th, we have Deacon Corbin Russell coming to preach that midweek Bible study. August 22nd, we have Brother Ben Naim, otherwise known as Ben the Baptist, coming to preach both services on Sunday. And then the new addition right here, on Sunday, October 3rd, we have Pastor Aaron Thompson from Sure Foundation Baptist Church coming to preach for us. So again, it's a great blessing having all these guys come fill the pulpit, and give them a big thank you when they do come. Some upcoming events listed here, September 25th and the 26th, which is a Saturday and Sunday. We do have the anniversary of Pure Words Baptist Church, and we're going to have the annual false Bible burning on that Saturday. And we're also going to have a soul winning marathon that Saturday. So definitely write that on your calendar. Again, like I said this morning, we have a big pile of kindling, a bunch of false Bibles, and get as many as you can. We want to try to make that fire humongous, right? We're definitely looking forward to that. And then that next month, October 6th through the 10th, we do have the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship up at Steadfast Baptist Church. That's in Hearst, Texas. So it's going to definitely be a good time, a fellowship, a lot of different events, a lot of different preachers. So again, that is October 6th through the 10th. And then lastly, if you do have any prayer requests, definitely email those into the church at purewordsbaptist@gmail.com. You know, we can pray for anyone that's sick, or if you have any special issues, we'll definitely keep you in our prayers. Keep praying for Brother Cameron's leg. And it looks like the prayers work. We have Brother Arhenes and his family back, so I'm glad they're feeling better. But definitely email those into the church. But that is the announcements for the evening. We'll have Brother Cameron come lead us in our next song. Song number 169.
All right, 169, Come Thou Fount. Come Thou Fount. Let's sing there starting on the first. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, over songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I know by thy good pleasure, safely I'll arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter. Bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel led. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. Good singing this evening. If you would, while the offering plates are being passed around, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, and we'll read that chapter as is our custom. Brother Brandon.
All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter 22, and the Bible reads, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. But humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruler over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and the contention shall go away. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of the strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and simply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. They trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in the counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee known the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands or them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, and he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before men, before mean men." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the salvations that were received today, Lord. We thank you for your word, the King James Bible. God, we just thank you for many, many, many blessings that you give us. We thank you for your love and your grace. We just pray that you just be with us right now. Again, just pray that you just read with Brother Chris Aguirre so he can preach boldly and accurately and help us minimize distractions. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Proverbs chapter number 22, the verse that I want to focus on is right there in number 24 that says this: make no friendship with an angry man. And then the next part of that verse tells you why. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go. I'm sorry, verse 25 tells you why. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So what is this verse telling us? It's saying don't become friends with somebody who's known as being angry. And when it says angry man, it's not talking about somebody who gets angry for the right reasons. It's talking about somebody who gets angry for the wrong reasons. And we'll get into that when anger is bad and when anger is okay. You know, because God does command us, and I'll go through that in a second. It does command us to be ye angry, but sin not. Showing us that anger is not always sinful. And not only that, if you just stop for a few seconds and you think about who is probably the most angriest person in the Bible.
Exactly right. Especially if you've read the New Testament, you don't have to figure out, or you don't have to read long before you figure out how God truly feels about sin. You know, so the sermon title is simply this: anger is contagious. Anger is contagious. So if you remember anything from tonight's sermon, just remember the title: anger is contagious. And of course, I work on my sins. I know nobody's perfect. I know that we all have sin. We all struggle with sin. Some struggle with a lot of sin, some with, you know, sin itself. But obviously, we all, if it's not today or tomorrow, sooner or later, we're going to struggle with this sin, and that's being angry with what the Bible says, without a cause or without a good reason. You know, so if you remember anything, remember anger is contagious. Why? Because I want to help you guys to control it. One thing that helps me is to remind myself that anger is contagious, and I don't want to be the one that's responsible for causing my workplace, you know, to be a place where everybody's angry, or my friends, or my church member, or whoever, or especially my children. I don't want my kids, and I'm sure parents don't want their kids, to grow up and be angry individuals that can't control their temper, because they can get in a lot of hot water if they don't understand that, A, being a hothead is not something cool. Even though TV may make it seem like it's cool, you know, the bad boy that loses his temper and beats up everybody. And maybe you don't have a problem with this, but you know what? I'm going to just be honest with you. As a new Christian straight out of the military, I did have an issue with anger, because he knows, you know, as somebody who picks up rank, we get upset a lot. You know, we try to control people with what? Not with a good example, but with threats, with anger, and we're up in their faces like drill instructors. But that's poor leadership. But because nobody ever really points it out, a lot of people do it. Am I wrong? How many times do you get chewed out? Right? You know? And it's almost like, yeah, this is how you get things done. You know, hey, private, hey, Lance Corporal, hey, whatever. Instead of like, yo, like the Bible says, let me talk to you really quickly and take him to the side and alone, you know, correct that individual. We're not very good at correcting individuals alone in the military. We tend to make it in front of everyone to show everyone that I'm not a punk, you know? I'm not going to let someone disrespect me or whatever the case may be. It's not jail. It's not like if somebody disrespects you, you have to go fight them or something. But in the military, if you're a poor leader, you don't understand that, you know? But yeah, when I got out, I remember this one time, you know, brand new Christian. You know, I was after a service, I was just kind of heading towards the vehicle. And because it was new, you know, there were some people that were like, talking, oh, yeah, that's a new guy, or whatever the case may be. And so as I'm walking, there were, like, groups of teenagers. And as I'm walking, I hear one of them call me a pretty boy. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, he's a girl, he's new. Oh, man, he's a pretty boy. I don't consider myself a pretty boy at all. But for some reason, I honestly got offended. I'm like, what? And I literally turn around, and I just imagine myself just walking up to him and just slapping that individual. It's like, what did you call me? Just slapping him, because that's kind of what I would do in the military if somebody were to say that to me. Because I'm an idiot, I'm a dummy, I don't understand what anger is, but I didn't. There are a lot of people, and I guess, I don't know, maybe it's the spirit, I don't know, I just decided I'm just going to hold off, not say anything, kept my mouth shut, and that's kind of how it is. And I was actually going to preach this sermon this morning, but I thought, no, that's just too generic. I preached about anger here before, I'm just going to hold off, you know, let me think about it. That's kind of what I thought. But yesterday, man, I was thinking, I might need to preach on this, because yesterday wasn't going well at all, especially when I left work. First of all, we get to the airport, and the plane is late. You know, they're like, oh, because I had this plan. Okay, we'll get there at 9. You know, maybe, maybe not. We'll get something to eat. We'll see how it goes. Probably go to bed early. We'll see how it goes. That was the game plan, you know. But I was thinking, okay, I'm going to end up hungry, eat something, go to bed, get up early, and do what I have to do. Sure enough, the plane is late. Sure enough, the plane is taking forever. Sure enough, it's super hot. Even the attendants are like, hey, can everybody just turn on their little whatever air thing so we can cool this place up? I don't know what was going on, but I was not having a good time. And then sure enough, we fly. I'm getting tired. We land, whatever. And then sure enough, we get to the hotel. I'm like, what's up? We get to the hotel. They check me in. Get in there, and the lights barely work. I'm like, oh, man. You know, I kind of wanted to stay up a little bit, work on the sermon a little bit. And so I ended up just having to, like, have to go downstairs and ask for a light bulb, because when I grabbed the lamp, there was no light bulb in it. So now I'm going downstairs. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, I'm sorry, but the light upstairs is kind of whatever, missing a light bulb. Do you have one? I don't know where they went, but it took a while. I guess they went to remove it from some other lamp. So I'm thinking maybe that's what happened in my room. So they give it back to me, and I'm like, boy, you're hungry? And I was hungry. You know, I didn't really eat that day. And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. And I had ordered right across is an IHOP, and I thought I was getting slick. I'm like, okay, this is what I'll do. I'll order our food, pay for it, get in there, grab it, come back, eat it, go to bed. Maybe you work on a sermon, whatever, but go straight to bed. Sure enough, I get there, and the lady's like, are you waiting for someone? I'm waiting for an order. I have an order here. She's like, an order? What's your name? My name is Chris. You know, I ordered it online, already paid for it. Check it out. She's looking at it. She's like, oh, okay. And then she just kind of goes to the back. And all I hear is this. That's not my problem. I don't know what's going on. And then my boss, I'm like, oh, man, I think I know where this is going, you know? So they're like yelling. And I'm almost wondering, do you guys not understand that we can hear you? We're in the lobby and we're listening to you guys argue and fight. And then whatever, you know, 5 minutes later, lady comes out. Oh, they're wrapping it up right now for you. No, they weren't. I could hear everything they were saying. And so people are coming in. They're like, oh, my online order, no problem. They grab it, give it to them, grab it, give it to them. This guy comes in. Here's my online order. And then they start bringing this stuff out, give it to them, whatever. And then sure enough, the lady goes back there. And all I hear is them just arguing. Lady comes back, you know, and she's looking in, goes in the back. And I'm like, what is going on? This is going to be funny. Lady comes out. And she's like, okay, they almost have it done. And they go back there. And all I hear is, you gave his food to the other guy. They cooked all my food. It was ready to go. They brought it out. And the lady, she was an older lady, gives all my food to the guy who came in. So he got hooked up. And he just took off. So then they're like, they're arguing like crazy. And then it gets real serious. I hear in the F word. I mean, it was bad. And all of a sudden I hear, I'm just going to quit. I'm done. No, don't quit. Hold up. Wait. You know? And it was getting ugly. They can verify. Remember what was happening? Did you guys pay attention? All the bad words they were saying? And it was a young guy that was, I guess, a waiter. You know, he takes off his shirt. Like, he's getting ready to go. Manager's like, don't leave. I'm done. Don't leave. Hey, I'll let you leave early. Just don't quit on me. All right, I'll think about it. They all got mad at each other. And the whole time I'm thinking, man, I need some food. I'm getting a little upset. I'm like, I might actually have to preach on anger, but I'm still thinking about it. So they finally give me my food, and I decided to look through it. And I'm like, okay, ma'am. Yep. Okay, I'm missing a few things. They're like, what are you missing? Number one, I'm missing milk. I ordered milk with my pancakes. And then she blames me. Why didn't you tell me you ordered milk? I could have had it for you by now. I was like, that's all right. No big deal. He's like, how many of these did you order? And I told her, well, I ordered three. Are these three? And she's like, oh, no, they give you one too many. Instead of saying I'm sorry for the wait, whatever, she takes the whole order. She takes one of the orders. They gave me a little bit extra. She just takes it out and walks off with it. And I'm thinking, okay. You know, it's like, I don't know, boys. Let's just get out of here before it gets even uglier. Remember that? Started taking stuff. She, instead of saying I'm sorry, you waited over an hour for your food. We messed it up twice. She literally said, oh, we gave you too much. Takes it out and walks off. I'm like, all right, but can I get my omelet? You know? I ordered an omelet, and they still didn't make my omelet. Out of everything, I just wanted the protein. Ordered an omelet with some avocado, egg whites, you know, no yellow. And so I just ordered it, whatever. She's like, we're missing your omelet. I'm like, yeah, you're missing my omelet. You know, no apologies, nothing. Blames me because I didn't tell her about the milk. And so I'm thinking, man, this place is crazy. But whatever, took my food, went upstairs, we started eating it, and I'm just like, oh, man, all of a sudden the toilet's not flushing well. And I'm like, oh, man, toilet ain't flushing well. And I'm like, okay, I hope it doesn't go down on us, but I'm like, whatever, no big deal. And I'm just sitting back kind of like, okay, I'm trying to calm down, relax, whatever the case may be. And so I'm eating my food. All of a sudden, you know, a roach starts coming on top right on my desk from here to there, and I'm just eating like, boys, we have roaches. It's on your mask right now. It's like, don't move. So I'm just like, what? I'm like, oh, guys, seal everything up. We got to deal with roaches now. So I'm thinking, oh, okay. Yeah, it wasn't a great night, but I was like, let me just go to sleep. It is what it is. So I went to sleep, woke up, had my sermon, another sermon, came here, preached. So I leave. So I'm thinking, all right, I got to think about what I'm going to preach tonight. And sure enough, I'm like, okay, I'll go to a restaurant, order the food, just the same. Figured I can get it, go eat, and figure out what I'm going to do. Maybe even come out soul winning. And then sure enough, they told me, okay, it'll be ready in 30 minutes. Another restaurant. Decided to go there. She's like, what's your name? My name is Chris. Oh, is this you? No, that's not me. That's another Chris. They forgot. I paid for it already. They didn't even make my food. All of a sudden, I'm there with the boys. Another 30 minutes. So I'm there waiting for 30 minutes. I'm like, no problem. 30 minutes pass, 40 minutes pass. I'm like, oh, man, what is this? You know, so it's kind of hot or whatever. I'm kind of losing my cool. So I'm just like, okay, maybe I do need to preach on anger. But one thing I kept telling myself and reminding myself is that anger is contagious. You know, if I start doing it, then my kids, they don't even know really what's going on. They're like literally on my phone. I gave my phone so they wouldn't pay attention. They're just playing video games, having a good time the whole time. They didn't know what was going on, but I knew what was going on. And I'm thinking, man, it's almost like 2 hours since I ordered this food. Because what happened is they finally get it out. They give it to me. I go to the hotel, open it up, and I'm like, oh, man, I can't eat this. I got to take it back because they messed it up. So I had to go back, and I'll tell you later if you want to know what they messed up. And I told them, hey, I can't eat this. You know, there's no way. Showed it to them. It's like, oh, man, we're sorry. They go and they fix it. The cook came out at least after like 30, 40 minutes saying, hey, we're sorry. We got it right now. Here you go. I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you. Went on my way. But I didn't blow my mind until the toilet got clogged. Finally, the toilet is clogged. I'm like, oh, man. And I'm like, boys, don't use it unless it's an emergency. We go looking for the lady, the janitor lady. I'm like, man, do you have a plunger? Oh, yeah, I got one. Here you go. I'm like, okay, thank you. So I spent 20 minutes trying to unclog that thing. It did not work. It did it a little bit, but I'm like, all right, keep this. Like, boys, don't use it unless it's an emergency. So do not use this bathroom. And I didn't want to complain. I didn't want to mess with that. I'm like, you know what? Let me just do my thing, whatever. I was like, I still got to print my sermon. And I remember picking that place because it's close to a place to eat. I figured, okay, if I need something to eat quickly, I'll just go there. It didn't work out. I even thought of myself, well, they have a printer, they have a computer. You know what? I'll figure out which sermon I want to do. Worst case, I use my tablet, but I like printing my stuff out. I know they have a printer. I know they have a computer. I've seen them print stuff. I've seen people use it. I'll just print my sermon. Sure enough, when I went looking for that printer and computer, gone. Like, what happened? So I said, lady, what happened to the printer and the computer? Oh, we got rid of it because of COVID. I'm like, well, can I please use your printer and your computer? I got to print a sermon. If not, I got to use a tablet. And she's looking around, and she's like, I'm in my head thinking, please just say yes. You're like, come in the back, you know? So at least they let me in. But it wasn't horrible stuff, nothing to really complain about. It was just interesting. I'm like, okay, I'm getting a little upset, but I got to remind myself that my anger is contagious, and I don't want to be responsible for my kids growing up to be angry people. But if you have your Bibles, go to Exodus, because I do want to show you that the Lord did get angry many, many times to prove that anger in itself is not always wrong. And that's very important to know and to understand. And little kids, if you're listening to me, I'm telling you right now, it is okay to get angry, but for the right reasons. But that's not what they're going to show you on TV. They try to make it seem like anger is always wrong. Always. Pastor Anderson was preaching on anger a while back, and he was trying to make fun of Yoda. Because Yoda, his famous thing is, anger is bad. Anger brings you to the dark side. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how he talks, but you know what I mean? You know, but is it true? No, it's not true. Because if anger was wrong, the Lord would never do it. The Bible says in him is no darkness at all. The Bible says that without, or that Jesus, and you know, he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. But if you got your Bibles in Exodus chapter number 4, here's a perfect example of how God does get angry. It says in verse number 4, it's verse 10. So Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who have made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send I pray thee by the hand of him whom thou wast sent. And then verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why? Because he's not listening. God is telling him, go do this. I want you to go. Go. You're going to lead the children out of Egypt. That's a good thing. Hey, get him out of there. But he wants to do the opposite. He wants somebody else to do it. He wants to just stay out of it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. Why? Because he's afraid. And that's why the Lord gets upset, because he's upset at the wickedness that's going on. Obviously, Moses wasn't a super horrible, adulterous, murderous, evil person. But what he's doing is he's lying to God. Because later on it says that he was good, or that he was trained up in the knowledge of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words. So he knew how to speak, but he's telling the Lord, I'm just a child, I cannot speak. He's lying to him, and so the Lord's getting upset with him, giving him a chance to get it right. You know, but it's also found in other chapters, like, for example, you could just listen up on this. This verse says this, and when the people complained, it's talking about the children of Israel, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. So the people are complaining. God hates complaining. We should never complain. I did my best not to complain today, but I did a couple of times or maybe more. You know, but I got right with the Lord and said, look, I need to stop doing that. That's stupid. I have really nothing to complain about. It was just a waiting game. That's all. But clearly the Lord hates when you complain. It says that they complain. The children of Israel complain. The Lord got displeased and his anger was kindled. Here's another verse. And God's anger was kindled because he went and the angel of the Lord stood in the way of an adversary against him. They was riding upon an ass and his two servants were with him. Here's another verse. And the angel of the Lord, or in the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And then we have another verse that says something similar. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Are these verses really in the Bible? Yes, they are. But when you talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, they make it seem like God never gets angry at righteous people. But he was angry at the children of Israel. He was angry at Moses. And all these verses, they're all in the book of Numbers. Every single one of them. It's not that they're spread out throughout the entire Bible. These verses talking about the anger of the Lord was kindled, they're all in the book of Numbers. So think about that. These are just a few of many that you'll find in the other books of the Old Testament and the New Testament because Christ gets upset as well. You know, but does God really, really get angry? Well, how about this verse? And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. Another one. But here's what the Bible says as well. You know, Numbers 34:14. And behold, ye have risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment not just the anger of the Lord, the fierce anger of the Lord. So God doesn't just get angry at times. Sometimes he gets very, very angry. That's what it means, the fierce anger of the Lord. But why is God angry, or who is he angry with? Well, here's a clue. In Psalm 7:11, it says this, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the imperfect? No. You know, with the dumb, with the ignorant? No. It says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. So what is getting God so upset? Well, God is upset for a cause. And what is that cause? Wickedness. He's upset because of wickedness or because of wicked people. You know, so when you get upset, ask yourself the question, why am I upset? What's the deal? Because we all will get upset. Sometimes we'll even get upset as church members. Sometimes we'll get upset at our spouse. Sometimes we'll get upset at our children. And sometimes we'll get upset at IHOP, you know? But what is the root reason you're mad at IHOP? What is it, you know? It's because of pride. I wanted my stuff right away. Instead, I waited over an hour. But that's because I think that I deserve more than what I really deserve, you know? But if we look at what the scriptures say, another word for angry is obviously to be furious. How do we know? Because of the verse we just read in Proverbs 22, make no friendship with an angry man, but with a furious man thou shalt not go. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to Exodus again. Go to Exodus chapter number 4 and meet me in verse 24. While you go to Exodus chapter number 4, verse 24, I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 19. Because a lot of people may say, yeah, he's angry, but he's angry at the wicked. You know, he's upset at the wicked. He's really, really mad at them. But come on, his children, you know, God, yes, he doesn't always, you know, approve of what we do. But God, he wouldn't really get that mad at his own people, at his own children. You know, would he? Well, let's take a look really quickly. You guys stay in Exodus. I'm going to read for Deuteronomy. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel, reminding them that, hey, like we read this morning in the morning service, he saved their lives back in Exodus. And it says in verse 9 of Deuteronomy, or verse 19 of Deuteronomy, for I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. So he's reminding them, hey, God was so mad at you at some point, he was about to destroy every single one of you. And think about it. He wasn't just going to destroy the dads and the moms, you know, or the uncles and the aunts. He was going to destroy who? The children as well. All of them. He was going to wipe them all off. And he told Moses, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, just you by yourself. And you got the Jehovah's False Witnesses saying, what would you think of a God, a person, a dad that would take his child's hand and just burn it or whatever? But that's not the reality of things. Because guess what? Number one, not all that are on earth are God's children. We're all the children of God by what? By faith in Christ Jesus. And don't worry, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, Ms. Jehovah's Witness. God says that he's going to return in 2 Thessalonians in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's who he's going to pour out his vengeance on. But don't think that just because you're saved, he will never, ever, like, do something harmful to you. Because it says right here that he was going to destroy them. And then it says this, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. That's a warning to us. You know, be careful making God too angry because Aaron was saved. Miriam was saved. And remember, they were part of that group that God was going to destroy before Moses said, don't do it. Don't do it. Come on, Moses, let me destroy them. You know, they're stiff-necked. Let me just make a great nation out of you. Let me start from scratch. No, please don't. He's like, please spare them. Spare them. Moses obviously wasn't part of that group. Miriam was. Aaron was. And here he's reminding them, hey, he was very angry with Aaron and would have destroyed him. He would have destroyed him. So what, is Aaron, was Aaron not saved? Let's just pretend he wasn't. Okay, I'll give you Aaron, Mr. Jehovah's Witness. But what about Moses? He for sure was saved. And what does Moses say even about himself? Deuteronomy chapter 1, it says this, also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. He's like, hey, God got so mad to just show us all that anger is not always wrong because God, obviously, there's no evil in him. You know, but if you're right there in Exodus 4, let's take a look at what the Bible says. And it says, and it came to pass, Exodus 4, verse 24. It says, and it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him. This is Moses. And sought to what? Kill him. Let me ask you this. Was Moses not a child of God? Absolutely he was. Because the same way you become children of God today is the same way you became a child back then. You know, unless a man is born again, and that didn't start when Christ came on the scene. That was since the beginning. Everyone who sins is now dead in trespasses and sins. And you need to be quickened spiritually, made alive again, born again, in order to enter the kingdom. But God goes the extra mile and doesn't just give you life again. He adopts you, makes you his child, because as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So in this situation, Moses, you can't argue he wasn't a believer at this point. He was. And if you don't believe his brother was saved, which I do, hey, he was going to kill his brother. But before he was going to kill his brother, he was going to kill Moses as well. And that's a warning to us. Hey, God doesn't think anger is wrong all the time because he got angry to the point where he almost killed his own. He almost killed his own children. And he hasn't changed the same yesterday, today, forever. So even today, if you push God far enough, anger him enough, he will take it out on you. He'll give you warning shots, I believe. But eventually, if he sees you're not going to turn, he might as well take you to heaven. Reminds me of somebody I know who had just been at a church for a year or maybe 2 years. And he came back. And he's like, man, I got to tell you something. He's like, what's up? Bro, I need to get right. What happened? I almost died. What do you mean you almost died? He's like, look, I know I shouldn't be skipping church. But you know what it is when you get backslidden. It's hard to come back. He said, well, what happened? Man, I went to get some. He went to get fast food. And all of a sudden, his heart starts to pump too much. And he's like, what is this? What did they put in this food? And he got to the point where he's like, whoa, he ate it there. I forgot what restaurant it was. And his blood, you know, just started to, I don't know what exactly was going on with him. But it got to the point where he was like, I'm about to have a heart attack. He told the employee behind the register, I know it's weird. Can you just touch my heart and tell me how it feels? And he's just like, okay. Boom, he's like, it's like, you're beating really fast. He's like, oh, man. He's like, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. So instead of calling 911, you know what he does? He goes to Walgreens to check his blood pressure. Cheap way out. So he goes to Walgreens, sticks his arm. You know that machine in Walgreens? He sticks it in there, presses the button. Next thing you know, he's like, emergency. You're having a blah, blah, blah emergency. He's like, what? You know, so then he went to the hospital. They checked him. He's like, you need to go to emergency right now. So they had to give him some medication. He was going to have a heart attack. And he's like, man, I know God was warning me. He's like, I know the Bible enough to realize you can only push him so far. And I felt he had my hand. I didn't know if he was going to let me live or not, but I knew I was about to have a heart attack. And so he decided to come back because he realized that God does get angry. He's read this story to realize that if he would take out Moses, I'm sure he's going to take me out as well if I don't get my act straight. You know, so of course, what am I trying to do first? Show you that anger, kids, is not always wrong. But remember, if you're going to get angry, make sure you're angry for the right reasons. Make sure you're right. And that's why it's good to read the Bible so you can know the right reasons to get angry. So you can know the right reasons to not get angry. And of course, the Lord makes it very clear, you know, that he does get upset. And you already saw right there that he sought him to kill him. You know, and if you want to read the story, you can later on. But God does get upset at his own people. I mean, here's a perfect example, Ezekiel. It says in one verse, when I shall execute judgments in thee in anger, And he makes it even more clear. And in fury, and it makes it even more clear, and in furious rebukes. I think I'll stay at angry, you know, before I end up causing God to be furious to where he's going to rebuke me with furious rebukes. It says, I, the Lord, have spoken it. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and go to Matthew 5:22. Matthew 5:22. But hey, God does get angry. You know, he does get angry to the point of even killing people. Why? It says right here in Nahum chapter number 1, verse 2, because God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord would take vengeance on his adversary and reserve a wrath for his enemies. But hey, we can still learn from that verse. Yes, he's going to punish his adversaries, his enemies, but he does get upset because he's a jealous God. And when we run off to the world, hey, he's not happy with us when we do those things. So we have to be careful backsliding too much because God will not always give you a second or third chance. You know, but he does tell us in Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But when is it okay to get angry? When am I allowed to be upset? Well, Matthew 5:22, if you're there, he gives us a clue. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So you better have a good reason. So when you see, you know, wicked people doing wicked things, that should get you angry. Even when you see your brothers doing wicked things, those things should get you angry. You know, but you need to know when and when not to get upset. And if you're going to get upset, here's the thing. If your kids are watching, they're going to tend to get upset as well. It's amazing how last night, these people are just arguing with each other. Everybody's mad at each other. One person got angry. The other person got more angry. And the other person, I can hear the cook. That's not my job. I'm just a cook. I don't pass out. I don't get the stuff out. Don't blame me. Not my fault. F you. F you. You know, it was that bad. I'm like, please don't spit in my food. That's what I'm thinking. Please, IHOP. Please. I love IHOP. But come on. You know, they gave me the creeps. What is it? Those crepes? What is it called? Crepes? Pancakes? Skinny little ones? Crepes or creeps? Crepes? The crepe? Crepe? Okay, they gave me crepes. But they just gave it to me with nothing on them. I'm like, oh man, that's not what it looked like when I ordered it. They just give it to me flat out. The kids are like, where's the strawberries? I don't know. But let's get out of here. I don't want to find out. You know, let's just get out of here before they spit in our food. They're having a bad night. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. But when people do know what they do, like here in Nehemiah chapter number 5, if you can meet me in chapter number 7 or verse 7, go to Nehemiah. You know, I'm going to read six verses. You just meet me in verse number 7. This is a person that knew when to be angry. You know, Nehemiah knew when it's time to get upset. And it says there was a great cry of the people and their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For they were that said, we are sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are bought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyard. And Nehemiah says this in verse number 6, and I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. So he was very angry, but he had a cause. His brothers, you know, his nation was, or this group of individuals were being treated, you know, they were being taken advantage of. You know, they weren't treated well. You know, by who? By their fellow Israelites. How do we know? Because verse 7 says this. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers. So it wasn't like an outside nation that was taking advantage of these people. It says, I rebuked them, the nobles, the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury. What is usury? It's interest. So what were they doing? Taking advantage of the situation. They needed food. Hey, you don't have money? How about your land? No problem. You know, need money? I'll give you some with usury, which is sinful. This isn't a sermon about interest, but some people like banks, 29% interest. You know, that's pretty crazy. They will go to higher, but they're trying to be self-righteous. Oh, we only go up to 29. Only 29, huh? Only 29%. to get you in a bind. You're in a bind, and they're like, oh, yeah, fast money, loan your money or whatever. You own your vehicle, bring your title, we'll give you a loan. Yeah, high interest. And so he was upset because it's like, hey, you guys are taking advantage of these people. And then he makes them give back the lands and everything else and make it all right. You know, so he knew when to get upset because he saw the sinfulness of his fellow brothers, the wickedness of those that were ruling, the nobles, the rulers, realizing, hey, you guys are taking advantage of these people. You guys should be ashamed. That's why he got upset at them. You know, so when it comes to us, though, we need to be careful not to become self-righteous, a holier than thou. Yes, you come to church. Yes, you're nice to people, but you're not nice to everyone. Not just that. Yes, you're coming to church. Yes, you're going soul winning. Yes, you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, but you have an issue with a certain individual. You can't just forgive and forget. It's unbelievable how you hear about these things. And what does the Bible say? It says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. The old saying, sin will blind you. Where do we get that from? We get it from 1 John. Because look what 1 John, you can just listen up. Look what it says. 1 John, you know, chapter number 2, verse 11 says this. But he that hateth his brother, the reason it's in there is because he knew there were going to be people that would hate their own church members. They're like, no way. Yay. It does happen. He never would have put it here. Because what does it say? He that hateth his brother. Talking about his spiritual brother. This is 1 John. This is in the Old Testament. When your brother could be somebody from the nation who's not even saved. But in regards to who are we speaking to here? Hey, it's believers hating believers. And claiming they're right with the Lord. Saying, hey, it ain't me, it's him. You know, he's the one. Then why are you saying bad things about him? Well, you know. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness, talking about sin, hath blinded his eyes. So it is possible for even ourselves to be in church and have issues with somebody else and think that we're good when it's not the case. You're angry at this person because that's what hate is. It's anger. You're mad at this person. You're angry at this person or whoever. Could be at work. Whatever. Ask yourself, why are you wrong? Make sure it's for the right reasons. And make sure you know how to handle the situation because your anger can be seen. It's better to fake that you're not upset than to cause others to get upset for no reason, because it does happen. Some employee gets upset at the boss. Next thing you know, it's like, yeah, he did that to me too. You know? Next thing you know, you too. And it spreads. The boss like, why is everybody so mad at me? Because of one person. One person started that. Hey, that's how it started with Moses. When they rose against him. One guy says something to one guy. Next thing you know, he has like 200-300 people coming at him. You know, trying to overthrow him. You know, hey, we're righteous too, Moses. You know, we don't like the way you're doing things. Let us have part of the say here. But that's not what God wanted. You know, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to Job. Job chapter number 1. While you're going to Job, I'm just going to read from Leviticus. You know, because people can say this. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I can get angry, but it's not like I'm going to kill someone. Because what do you see in the Old Testament? People getting so angry, they want to kill someone. I.e. King Saul with a javelin. He threw it at his own son. I don't know, like how crazy that moment was. But for your dad to throw something at you, trying to kill you. I mean, I can see how Jonathan was upset, because that's evil, you know. But why was Saul upset? Because of the same reason that Cain was upset, which is the same reason that probably most of us get upset at somebody else for the wrong reasons, because we're envious. Somebody's whatever to this person, and you don't like that person, you get a little envious, start talking a little smack, say something you shouldn't have said, whatever the case may be, somebody starts to outperform you. Instead of saying, hey, great job, man, you're killing it, you get a little envious, a little bit of anger or whatever, because that's what happened, you know? Saul was like, hey, you hear them singing that song? David, you know, they ascribe unto me 1,000, David 10,000. Envious, because he was outperforming him. But that was Saul's own fault, because he didn't want to go to the battle. He was sending, you know, this guy out to the battle, King David out to the battle, and he didn't kill 10,000 people. I mean, come on, it's an exaggeration, Saul, but it didn't matter. His envy caused him to have that javelin at all times. What was the deal with Judah and his brothers? What did we talk about earlier? They envied Joseph. That's why they wanted to kill him. That's why they were so mad and hateful towards him. Cain. Why was Cain so upset? Well, the reason why he was upset is because he was a wicked individual. And he was mad and envious at who? His brother. Because his brother was righteous, doing the right thing. So we need to be careful. Like, why am I upset? You know, when you read Genesis 4, Cain and Abel, that's what God says to Cain. Why art thou wroth? Like, hey, check yourself. Why are you so mad? If you do well, am I not going to accept you? And when we get upset because another member may get in a little bit more praise, and you're like, oh, I don't really like that dude. That guy, whatever. You know, God's in heaven like, why are you mad? Hey, you do what's right. Hey, I'm going to praise you. You know, I'm going to promote you. Don't you worry about that. You do what's right. Hey, I'm going to accept you as well. And where do we get that from? Genesis 4. The Lord said unto Cain, why are thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall that not be accepted? He's like, how come everybody's giving this guy all the attention? First of all, you should worry about God more than some guy, you know? It's like if some dude's getting praised by a bunch of people, hey, great. But you know what? You should be concentrating on whether God's happy with you anyways. You know, worry about yourself. The old saying, worry about yourself. Even Christ said that. Hey, before you try to take the beam out of somebody's face or take the mold out of somebody's face, take the beam out of yours. And then go help your brother. If he screwed up, go help him. It doesn't say you never help people out. You know, it says even in Leviticus, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. But what's it say? Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So even the old lesson, you know, about, hey, don't hate people, even in your hearts. Hey, you should help people, rebuke them or whatever. That's in the Old Testament. And people may think, yeah, I don't like people. I get angry sometimes. Not like I'm going to kill someone. But remember, what does Christ said? Whoever hates his brother in his heart is what? A murderer. It doesn't say it's like a murderer. It says you are a murderer. But just how God's standards are so high when it comes to murder. Same thing with adultery. If you lust after a woman, you commit adultery. Doesn't mean you deserve the death penalty for lusting after someone. But it's the same thing in regards to the heart. You know, God looks at the heart as well. He has your thoughts. He counts your thoughts as well. You know, but what do we end up seeing? We end up seeing, you know, lots of verses like 1 John 4:20 that says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. There's no exception. We have to remember that. You can't say, well, I'm fine, and you cannot have like a decent conversation from somebody across the room. It's just crazy how people think that God's gonna bless them just because they come to church and they go sowing in and they're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and maybe they do read their Bible, maybe they do pray, but there's certain people month after month, year after year, they just don't want anything to do with. It's just insane to me. And they want to talk about, you know, how it's because I don't know about that person. I don't know about you. How could you not see these verses? I'm not saying that you're never going to have issues with someone. And yes, it's probably better to separate at times. But I want to be the person that can literally wake up the next day and say, hey, you know what? I don't care who it is at church. You know, I want to be able to have a good relationship with them. You know, even if they've done to me stuff in the past, whoever it was, you know. You guys already know who Tyler Baker is, right? You know, that idiot railed on Pastor Anderson. He's obviously not saved. We don't believe he's saved for one second. He has a different gospel. You know, he has different beliefs. He believes that if you don't believe that God sent himself to be the Savior, you're not saved. That's really what he believes. You know, he won't have the guts to say it because it does have a big enough crowd to financially support him. But if he had the crowd, if he had the church size, he would probably say, I don't think Pastor Anderson's saved. I don't think that, and I think they're a cult. You know, I don't think they're saved either. Because he believes in oneness. He believes that the Father is the Son, and that there really isn't a Son. It's just about the Father creating some body and then ends up possessing that body and calling that body the Son. You know, that Jesus created being. There aren't really three in heaven. Even though the Bible says that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, he still believes Jesus is the Father for some crazy reason. You know, but let's just say that guy just happened to be screwed up, and he ended up just coming back saying, you know what, I was all screwed up, I was all messed up. You know what, I said a lot of bad things. I realize that I'm wrong. Oneness is stupid. You know, it was a dumb thing. It was just my pride that kept me from admitting that I was wrong. I was deceived by all these wicked people. They kind of fed my ego, and I fell for it all. And so I'd be like, hey, man, great. Welcome back. And I would treat him like nothing ever happened. Like nothing ever happened. I would. I would never even bring it up to my kids or nothing. And I'm trying to make it a thing where if I do have issues with someone, I try not to tell my wife because I don't want to poison her. If somebody says something, does something, I want to just keep it to myself. And if I do think it's that big of a deal, then I need to obey the scriptures and go to that person alone. Like it says in Matthew 18. Alone, not after you spoke to 10 different people. No. Brother offends you, go to that person alone. Don't go to your wife for an hour and then beef yourself. And then, yeah, right. Well, yeah, okay. I'm going to go tell him he's wrong, you know. It's like, try alone first. And then don't try to turn your wife into an angry person by telling her all the bad stuff you think about that individual. I'm going to just try to keep it that way. At least that's what I believe for now. why cause her to come down with me? It's like, no, because I don't want her. I mean, I don't want to poison the well. Maybe I'll be able to forget, but what if she can't? He's like, I can't believe that guy said, and they'll hold it against that person for the rest of their time. Now, she's going to be like one of these people that say they love God, they're right with the God, with God, and they're walking in the light, but they have issues with whatever individual. You know, but at the end of this whole thing, what do I want you guys to remember? A, make no friendship with an angry man. What do I mean by an angry man? Somebody who's angry for the wrong reasons. He's going to poison you, but also don't become that angry man, because then you're going to poison your church members, your coworkers, your kids, your wife. You don't want to be that individual. So I try to remind myself of this, and that's why when I get angry, it's like, hey, anger is contagious. I need to watch it. I got a little bit upset when the toilet was clogged, right, guys? We're like, hey, hate to do this to them, but we'll use it at the last second and then bounce. They're not going to like what they're going to find the next morning, all right? But we did our best. Did we not do our best to unclog that thing? Oh, man, I did a Jurassic Park part one on that stinking toilet. Like, trash bag and everything. Trying to unclog it. It just didn't work. I was in there with the plunger. Oh, man, come on. Not now. It didn't work out. I'm like, oh, will I ever go back to that place? Richard, but I will. It's like right next to IHOP. I know how to forgive and forget. I'm going back there. I don't care about the roaches. I don't care about the clogged toilet. I don't care about what else did we deal with. Two roaches. I'm like brushing my teeth and the roach goes across the mirror. I'm like, at least it's next to IHOP, man. You know, until that, you must really like IHOP. No, I just like convenience, but it wasn't that convenient this time. But that's just how we roll. So remember, kids, A, anger is what? Contagious. Don't be that angry kid. And I see it in my kids. When I go a little, and sometimes I do go a little nuts or whatever to kind of like whatever, get them to obey, but that shouldn't be the way you do business. Because then I notice they're doing it too to their brothers. Ace! What are you doing? I'm like, whoa, why are you screaming so much? What, you do it? I'm like, oh, my bad. Don't do it, all right? I don't want my grandkids being a bunch of angry hotheads. So keep that. You understand? You guys know what I'm talking about? Hey, I know you don't really have that. Yeah, anger's contagious, so watch it, all right? Make sure you take them somewhere alone and you tell your brother what the issue is. But let's just remember the title. Anger is contagious. When you start getting upset, remember that. Anger is contagious. Get upset at your wife, remember that. Anger is contagious. And look, I'm telling you, there's people that they struggle with this. I know someone, seems like he has it all, has cars, money. I'm talking about millions of dollars. I mean, the guy is a musclehead. He is a musclehead. But he doesn't care about any of those things. You know what this guy cares about the most? Controlling his anger. Because he knows I have an issue with my anger. At least he knows it. And people ask him, man, what's your goal in life? You know, how much money do you want to make? You know, you're already like at 20 million or whatever. You know, it's like, yeah, but what is your number one goal? Honestly, it's to control my anger. Not to get bigger physically, you know. Not to make more millions. He drives, what does he drive? He drives a Lambo and he drives a Phantom, a 2020 Phantom. And has a 2020 Lambo. And right now he's averaging about $1 million, you know, $1 million a month, you know. So I'm just kind of like messaging the dude, like, good job, whatever, you know, keep it up. But people ask him, what's your, like, what is your goal? How much do you want to make? He's like, here's my goal. Watch my anger. That's what he says. Because he's like, because I've gotten, if I don't watch it, I can get out of control to the point where I'm calling my wife the craziest stuff that you wouldn't imagine I would call my wife. I mean, we had some major, major fights. Because I couldn't control my anger. I mean, I called her the worst of the worst. I didn't hold back. Then I realized what a dummy I was. And then at that point, I realized, hey, I need to watch it. You know, because who knows how far this will go. And he almost got divorced because of his anger. He almost got divorced. Wife left him. Even left him and hooked up with some other dude. Lucky enough, he stopped her and like, all right, I want to make it work. I'm sorry, it's my anger. He's like, at least you're recognizing it. You know, because guess what? She became an angry person too. He will call her, you stupid, blam, blam, blam. Oh, yeah, you stinking bum. They're going at it crazy. And he's just telling all this stuff because he doesn't want other people, you know, to think that, hey, you know, you can't succeed. You can't make it work. You know, it's time to let it go. He's like, I'm not going to divorce my wife. She may divorce me. I'm not going to divorce her, but I don't want her. It's like, we're doing good now. But I have to recognize that my anger was not right. I used to think it was because he grew up a bully. just beating up anybody that looked at him the wrong way, because that's how he got respect. But now the guy's like, forget that. That's the dumbest thing. I was such a dummy. Now I realize my anger doesn't do more. It doesn't do anything except hurt. But I know that it's going to be contagious. And they told him, hey, you know, do you want your son to be successful in this and that? He said, you know what? If he ends up being like me, great. The only thing I will never want my kid to have is my anger. So I try to remind myself, I need to wash my anger because I don't want my kid to have the same anger as me. Because he will. Why? Because anger is contagious. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Lord. We have no reason to ever complain, Father. We're on our way to heaven. We're rich spiritually. You know, Father, we have stuff that feelings of people don't. You know, we have you, and that's a lot. We have salvation. What else could we really ask for? But for tonight, we ask you, Father, to just help us, Lord. Help us to overcome sin. Help us to control our anger. Help us to even control our thoughts. It's not just the exterior. It's our thoughts that also count in your eyes. You know, so help us to be accountable to our actions and our thoughts, and help us to be peaceful people, you know, peacemakers, not peace breakers. And Lord, the people that are here, they're pretty strong, dear Lord. You know, that's why they're here Sunday night. You know, but Father, we all need to take heed lest we fall and we end up just giving in to our emotions. And Lord, when we do give in to our emotions, when we do realize that we're angry without a cause, help us to repent, help us to get right, you know, and help us to just move forward and just become better people, and just help us to help other people as well to overcome this. And for me personally, it's just remembering that anger is contagious, and I don't want my brothers, I don't want to be responsible for spreading it to my brothers, spreading it to my coworkers, spreading it to my children, spreading it to my wife. You know, I don't want to be responsible for that, because like it says right here, make no friendship with an angry man, and I would hate to not have friends because I'm an angry person and I can't control my anger. So Lord, I know I had a problem, major problem with this as a new believer. And Father, thank you for showing me the truth about anger. You don't like unrighteous anger, Father. You know, but I thank you to where I know the truth about it and help me to just, you know, become this individual that can control it. And we ask you to do all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, if you would grab your white handouts, we're going to sing Psalm 126 in the white handout. Or in the Bible, alternatively. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, Psalm 126. Sing. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Amen. And with that, you are dismissed. Have a good night.